Today I'm joined by Russell Means, a man whose biography is too lengthy to do justice to here. His accomplishments include participating with the American Indian Movement in the armed siege of Wounded Knee in 1973, but he's also an activist, actor, writer, musician, artist, politician, and many other things. Today he joins me as a representative of the newly formed Republic of Lakota. Russell Means, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
Thank you.
Mr. Means, in your own words, please tell us about yourself and your background.
Well, I've lived every place a person can possibly live in the white society of America. I've been in its prisons, its jails. I've been homeless. In my day, it wasn't called homeless. They were called bums or hobos. I've been in their crazy house, their nut house, their insane asylum. I've been in their universities. I have a doctorate in Lakota studies. I have been in their penthouses. I've lived in them, visited them. I have been in the hospitals, of course, from assassination attempts by the federal and local police authorities. I have been in every institution of America. When I travel now, I travel only first class, because I initially started traveling first class for security reasons, and then I realized it's great possibilities of making extremely excellent business contacts. And so with that in mind, those are the two reasons I mainly travel first class on airlines or trains. The other thing is, with all these institutions I've been in their citadels of governance in Washington, D.C., and the state capitals, various ones. I've testified before Congress, and I've testified before state legislatures all about either voting rights in America or constitutional issues at the federal level. I have been in court 13 times on criminal charges, of which I represented myself in 12 criminal trials. I won every one of those, and the only time I ever got convicted of a crime was when I had a lawyer representing me, a white lawyer from the state of South Dakota. I have been a senior partner in the Red Cloud Law Firm on the Pine Ridge Sioux Indian Reservation. Also, I have represented myself in more than a dozen civil cases trying to get our treaty rights into court, both at the local and federal level. And of course, that's not allowed by the authorities. So I've joined the American Indian Movement. I've had armed struggle against the United States of America. Was part of that. We were declared innocent in a 9-month trial, one of the longest criminal trials in the history of the federal government. I fought against the communists who call themselves Sandinistas in Nicaragua. I got wounded down there. I've suffered a total of 9 assassination attempts, 5 assassination attempts in the United States of America. I have sought allies around the world, from Christians to Catholics, to the Nation of Islam, to every aspect of the international community. I worked 12 years through our treaty office with the United Nations, specifically individual countries, in the 1970s and the 1980s. I have taken the United States of America to court many times, and of course have either had the cases dismissed or I lost them. I have exposed to the national and international media various acts of genocide by the United States government, but of course everyone has turned a blind eye. We have been to the United Nations Human Rights Committee. We were there for 20 years in a row. And we did get the proclamation of the non-binding resolution of the rights of indigenous people passed. Part of that, we were the ones who spearheaded that back in the 1980s, 1983. And we began that effort in 1977. But it took 30 years to get that passed. 30 years of lobbying. And it's a non-binding resolution. Figure that out. I've also been an actor, an artist, and I still am an actor and an artist, and a writer, screenwriter, and I've written a book, my autobiography, Where White Men Fear to Tread. And you can go to my website if you want to buy that autobiography, Where White Men Fear to Tread, the autobiography of Russell Means. It's available at russellmeans.com or amazon.com, but we prefer selling it ourselves. It's a life that has been buried, and I've failed, by the way, to find an ally, any kind of an ally anywhere in the world that will help the Indian people. When we were fighting against the Sandinistas in the jungles of Nicaragua, on the stock of the gun butt of a rifle of one of the Mosquito Indian defenders, he had something carved on his that stock in his language. So I asked him how that was interpreted in English, and he said, "Only Indians will help Indians." As you know, internationally, we're referred to as Red Indians, and that's what I prefer to be called up until recently. Now I am Lakota, because we have now one of the leaders of the re-established complete sovereign and free and independent nation. When we unilaterally withdrew from our treaties and our agreements with the United States.
Yes, let's talk about the Republic of Lakota. For those who haven't heard of it, tell us in your own words what the Republic of Lakota is.
On December 17th, this past December 2007, a delegation from the Republic of Lakota went to Washington, D.C., and we presented to the State Department of the United States of America a portfolio of withdrawal from our unilateral withdrawal from our treaties and agreements with the United States of America. You see, America created a concentration camp system in its country, which confined us Indians to the reservations. The reservations were ruled, and this is all in our portfolio, that we haven't any even though they forcibly made us U.S. citizens in 1924 without our consent, they still would not allow us to have any U.S. citizenship rights when we live on a reservation. The Constitution of the United States of America doesn't cover us. We have no rights. We have no rights against police, against government, against corporations. We have no rights against non-Indian individuals. A white man or a brown man that is not an Indian could come onto our reservation, a black man or a yellow man, and commit a crime, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is the type of situation we live under, and we lived under forced poverty. They will not allow us to control our own land. The federal government holds it in trust for us. And thank you. And will not allow us to develop anything economically on the reservations. And then they keep us in a welfare state, that every welfare check we get, we have to spend it immediately off the reservation in the white communities. So it's actually the white communities that surround Indian reservations in the United States that are on welfare, not us, because we haven't anything to spend it on the Indian reservation, so we have to spend it off the reservation. These types all add up to one word, genocide. And in that genocide they've been doing against us, we outlined it in our withdrawal. It is also extermination. In my nation, the Lakota, we are facing extermination within the next 10 to 20 years. And when I say 10 to 20 years, extermination, we'll still be brown people. We'll be like the descendants of the black slaves now, who were cut off from their culture, their land. This is what's going to happen to us in 10 to 20 years, because the average age of the fluent Lakota speaker is 65 years of age. A linguist have said we've already lost our language, therefore we don't believe so, but we know we'll lose it in 10 to 15 years, because the life expectancy of an adult Lakota male is less than 44 years of age, which is the shortest life expectancy in the world when you don't have AIDS. So this is the worst, we live in the worst conditions in the world. It's a colonial apartheid system America has devised that they've exported to the world. If you look at Palestine or if you look at Iraq, you will see that those Indian policies have been exported there. Bantu Development Act, Nazi Germany concentration camps, all were taken from the policies of the United States of America for their Indians. Hitler even wrote about it. And apartheid South Africa copied the Indian laws of the United States that were passed 30 years before South Africa passed the Bantu Development Act, which institutionalized apartheid in South Africa in 1964. So we have never lost our sovereignty because we had these treaties with the United States. But they wouldn't allow us full sovereignty. We tried for 155 years to force the United States of America, or at least try to convince the United States of America. Like I said, I was in an armed struggle in the 1970s against the United States of America. And we tried to even force them to live up to their own laws, their own constitutional laws. Well, after 155 years and we're facing extermination, we have to do something to save ourselves. So we decided, as freedom-loving, we do not represent all of the Indian people who call us Sioux Indians or Lakota, because a lot of them have been colonized to the effect that they love and serve their master, which is the United States government. So consequently, we only represent the freedom-loving, the freedom-seeking Lakota, which numbers about 12,000 to 13,000 minimum. And because there's only about 70,000 in our nation, but we control Our land covers 60 million acres, or more like 40 million hectares, or about 37 million hectares. That being said, we, following the Constitution of the United States of America's own laws and international law, like the law of treaties, the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, we adhere to. So legally and lawfully, both nationally in the United States of America and internationally around the world, we are legal and lawful, a free and independent country. And we established that by unilaterally withdrawing from the United States of America. We have reestablished our complete sovereignty. And what has happened is we're now in the process of rebuilding our country. Fortunately for us, the United States of America is so racist, so anti-Indian, so anti-world, that they're ignoring us. They're more interested in their phony and fake election process right now. But they're ignoring us, and that allows us even more time to strengthen our efforts for wind power, solar power, and geothermal power, so that we can have an energy basis for our nation. We're also in the process of attempting to structure our international bank. These and other projects are what we're hoping can bring about change for everyone, not only the Indian people in our country, but the non-Indian people, the white people who live in the Republic of Lakota. We're going to benefit all. We're not going to have any income taxes, nor are we going to have property taxes, which in the United States and Europe is in most of the rest of the world is a stupid idea. And we're not going to have that kind of a stupid idea to put our property in the hands of government, and our wages, our hard-earned income into the hands of government. That's an absurd idea, that the money lenders of the world have come up with. So consequently, this is what the Republic of Lakota is all about.
So tell us about the international bank that you're structuring.
Well, can't tell you much because we're in the process of structuring it. It's going to have private accounts, and it's going to be a depository for gold and silver, because eventually, if and when we do issue our own currency, our currency will be backed by gold and silver.
It's very exciting news. Do you find support is growing among the Lakota Sioux?
Of course. People, once they find out, even colonized people, once they find out the truth about freedom, what it means, you know, there's a simple axiom of freedom. And that's the first one. And that is when you are free to be responsible. That is the part of freedom that I love. You are free to be responsible. You don't have to allow your responsibility to be taken over by a government or a religion. You incorporate everything onto yourself. So you are the government. You are the religion. You are the individual who is free. And so we have what we taught the world about. We have true individual freedom through representative government. But you cannot have a government that works for all the people unless you have consensus. So you have to create mini states, or mini, and I mean micro mini control apparatus, which is what we say are neighborhoods. Neighborhoods are communities that small, and they are their own police, their own courts, their own jails if they want it, and they are their own cooperative, ruled by consensus, no disagreements. This is what, and we start at the neighborhood level, but we haven't been able to implement that yet because we're rebuilding our nation. But that's our goal, is to have a very true country of individual liberty through representative government. And see, each level of government, from the neighborhood to the community, to the area, to the region, to the state, to the national government, every level has to rule by consensus. And it's much easier when you start at the neighborhood level.
So what kind of provisional government do you have in place right now for the Republic?
We have a provisional government that continues to grow. Right now we have 10 facilitators. 10 facilitators that are aiding and helping the provisional government to grow. We hope to have more very soon.
So as a republic, do you have a constitution or a bill of rights or anything like that?
Well, that's what the provisional government is for. They have to come up with that. And once we have those things, we put it to the people. And then, of course, they have their established their way of life. But we're a long ways from that. Because understand, we do not want confrontation of any kind, anywhere, with anyone. We don't want to have any confrontation with white people. We don't want to have any confrontation with any of their governments, local, state, or federal governments. What we want to do is provide them with the opportunity to join our country. And once they join, of course, and repudiate their U.S. citizenship, then we have a nation. And until they see the benefits, the real benefits, when they see their neighbors starting to receive, and I mean all colors of their neighbors, all of the sacred colors of the human race, once they start receiving free energy from our wind, solar. You have to understand that in the contiguous 48 states of the United States of America, the finest wind power is in North and South Dakota, which is our country, part of our country. That free wind, that is enough wind in our country, the Republic of Lakota, to power every city in the United States 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the country we have now is the possibility of our country enjoying free energy. Then we will export the rest to the United States, and damn it if they want to buy it. And we are in the process of implementing that now. Okay? What we have done is made alliances with the wind energy company out of Southern California, and we are in the process of putting that together. Once that is together, and we start generating electricity, and the local people will be benefiting not only from free electricity, but will those with land that has a wind generator, they will have a wind turbine, they will have lease money from that generator, and also they will participate in the corporate through dividends. And that's how we will gain support for eventually a total return and the recognized borders of our country. So we understand it will take years. Hopefully not too many years, but we have the short range and the long range plans that will accomplish the reinstitution of the Republic of Lakota. In the meantime, We are working in the international community. Now, I understand there's only 10 of us, so the facilitators, and that's growing. So eventually, with friends and supporters, we will become free and recognizable and recognized country. I have visited at least over 20 embassies in Washington, D.C., seeking with a petition for recognition. We're also going to be, in during this year, approaching other international bodies for restitution, and we're even putting together a genocide lawsuit against the United States of America for the World Court. So these are some of the things we're hoping to do, to present that that genocide suit next year, maybe before the president, the next president of the United States is inaugurated, so we can introduce him to his first international crisis of his administration, whoever that president may be.
Interesting. You've asked people to help support the Republic of Lakota. How specifically do you think people can best support your new country?
Well, one of our first problems, the first problem we faced, is refugees. Because people with brains, and those same people are the ones who use those brains, they understand freedom. And they love freedom. They realize that in the United States of America, you know, that's a fake country, a phony country, and they realize they are not free. We have a refugee problem of Americans wanting to come and live in our country. And these are professional and skilled workers. We're getting emails consistently, day after day, week after week, from people who want to move here. And the only criteria we put on them, and you're welcome, we said in the 1500s, the 16th century, to the Europeans that came seeking freedom, you're welcome as long as you're self-sufficient. This is an opportunity for the white man to finally wake up to his own humanity. Hopefully, there's quite a few, and from our emails, and the refugee problem we have, we see that there are quite a number of white people, white males and females, who understand freedom, and they want to be free. So they want to move away from America.
Russell Means, some very exciting news from the Republic of Lakota, and I want to thank you for taking time to join me today. Where can people go to get more information about the Republic?
Well, we have two websites. The main one is the Republic of Lakota.com. We also have, I'm going to be running for president in the colonial system of tribal politics that the United States of America allows us to have. But I'm running for president of the reservation. In that effort, what I'm really doing is using that as a plebiscite, as further proof how many Lakota would rather be free than be enslaved, continued enslavement to the United States of America. And so I am going to run for president of the concentration camp called the Pine Ridge Sioux Indian Reservation to put forth the choice to the people, freedom or continued enslavement. That's at RussellMeansFreedom.com. RussellMeansFreedom.com. So you can go to either website and bring forth your request by email how you can support us. That's RussellMeansFreedom.com and RepublicofLakota.com. Okay?
All right. Some excellent and exciting information. Russell Means, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.